scripture reading this morning is Exodus 16, 1 through 18. They set out from Elim, and all the congregation of the people of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai. On the 15th day of the second month, after they had departed from the land of Egypt, and the whole congregation of the people of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness, and said to them, "Would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and ate bread to be to the full? For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily." So Moses and Aaron said to all the people of Israel, "At the evening you shall know that it is the Lord who has brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning you'll see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your murmuring against the Lord. For what are we that you murmur against us?" And Moses said, "When the Lord gives you in the evening flesh to eat, and the morning bread to be full, because the Lord has heard your murmuring, which you murmured against us, what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord." Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he has heard your murmurings." And as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord said to Moses, "I have heard the murmuring of the people of Israel. Say to them, at twilight you shall eat flesh, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread. Then you shall know that I am your Lord, your God." In the evening, quails came up and covered the camp. And in the morning, dew lay around about the camp. And when the dew had gone up, there was on the face of the wilderness a fine flake-like thing, fine as hoarfrost on the ground. When the people of Israel saw it, they said to one another, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, "It is the bread which I, the Lord, has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Gather up every man of you as much as you can eat. You shall take an omer apiece according to the number of the persons whom each of you has in his tent." And the people of Israel said so. They gathered some more, some less. But when they measured it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered the less had no lack, each gathering according to what he could eat. This ends the scripture reading.
Have you ever, you ever had an argument with someone? You ever have one of those arguments? I was having a conversation with some friends of ours about an argument that they had, and this couple was having an argument about where the thermostat should be set at night. Anyone else ever have that discussion? Yeah. There's two types of people in this world. You see where this one's going, right? You know, the ones that need to have it cool in the house, and then the ones that need to be on that beach 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, right? And regardless of the fact that there might be blankets in the house, you can... Am I tipping my hand here? And so this couple was starting to have this fight and this argument, this discussion, but it kind of went downhill. It really went downhill. And this discussion did become an argument, and this argument became a fight, and it ended up with someone sleeping on the couch, and it was an ugly, ugly thing. And as they were telling the story and laughing about it because it was in the past, it occurred to me that maybe, just maybe, they weren't really fighting about the thermostat. Maybe it wasn't the thermostat, but whatever it was that they were disagreeing about, whatever the disagreement, whatever the fear that they held, was something else. And it was a conversation that they were afraid to have with one another. Keep that analogy in the back of your mind as we go through this sermon today. Keep that analogy of having a fight about something that is not the thing that you really want to have the fight about or the discussion about. That sometimes surface level issues are not what is really going on underneath. Keep that in the back of your mind today, because as we're looking at Israel, we see that their issue is food, right? And food is a real issue, right? If you are hungry and you don't have any way to get food, that is definitely a real issue. And if you are with a country filled with people, well, a country's worth of people, 12 tribes, moving out into the wilderness as we continue this series in Exodus, and all of a sudden you are in the wilderness where maybe there's enough food for one or two people to scavenge food, but there is not enough food for a nation on the move. This is a serious, serious issue, and I love the translation of the Bible that we have here, the Revised Standard Version. They called it murmurings. Murmurings. I'm not sure the people who translated the Revised Standard Version have the same definition of the word murmuring that I have. I don't think it was, maybe they think of it as a different, I think this was grumbling, a certain sense of, we are not happy. Oh Moses, why did you bring us out here? It would have been better to die quickly at the hands of the Egyptians. Last week we talked about the parting of the Red Sea. It would have been better to die there. It would have been better to be enslaved in Egypt. This is them looking backwards and seeing preferable options to what they have in front of them. Forgetting, of course, that their children were being killed in Egypt. Forgetting, of course, that they were terrified as the Egyptian army was moving on. But they are now facing hunger. That persistent feeling as they're moving through the deserts and as they're moving through the wilderness, this idea of what is going to happen to us because the human body can only take so much. What are we going to do? But I suggest to you that even though hunger and food is a real issue, this is not their real issue. That even though they have this problem and they are murmuring, they are complaining, they are arguing with God and with Moses, that food is not the real issue here. I don't know what your problems in life are, what the things that you struggle with on a daily basis, what those things that is for you specifically, I know for some of you, but those things specifically that you are struggling with. And being a person of faith does not exempt us from struggle. Being a person of faith does not exempt us from having problems in life. But Israel had a deeper problem. Israel had a deeper problem, and I think a lot of the time we have a deeper problem, and that is our faith. Israel needed to have faith, and I submit to you that their entire journey in the desert and through the wilderness was about faith building, was about trusting in this pillar of smoke by day and this pillar of fire by night that led them, trusting in this God who was always present, leading them to the promised land. That Israel's underlying problem was about their faith. And sometimes we face problems. Sometimes we face addiction. Sometimes we face anger or lust or greed. Sometimes we face anxiety. There is a laundry list of surface-level problems that we can face. And yet, we either face those problems with faith or we face them without faith. We either turn to God and rather than grumble, rather than murmur, we offer our problems. We entrust our problems to God. Can we entrust our addictions to God? Can we entrust our anger to God? The lust, the greed, the anxiety, the you fill in the blank. Can we entrust that to God? That's a hard thing some days. It's a hard thing some days to entrust the things that challenge us to God. It's a hard thing because we like to solve our own problems, don't we? We like to solve our own problems. And I'm sure there were voices in Israel that said, well, you know, if we tried to plant some food, do we have any seeds? Can we find a way to make this work until those seeds can come up? Or can we send out hunters and do this hunter-gatherer thing? Can we do that? We like to solve our own problems. And talk to an addict sometime. Do you know any addicts, any alcoholics, any people who are addicted to drugs that are trying to break the habit? Do you know people like that? Talk to them and ask them what it's like to try to do that alone, how that works out. Most of the time, people do well for a week or two and then crash. And unless they have a community that surrounds them, like an AA group or an NA group, unless they have that sort of thing that says, you need to be directing your attention to recognizing, one, that you are not powerful over this, and number two, that there is a higher power, you know, recognizing what God is doing in your life, surrendering that. I would submit to us that many of the things that you and I struggle with would fit well into that 12-step model. That if we are struggling with a secret sin, that 12-step model could be used and to offer that sin back to God. Sometimes it's really hard to do that. It takes faith to go to God and say, God, I was wrong. It takes faith to stop hiding that. It takes faith and trust in God to be able to lay that down at God's feet. And yet, that is our primary issue. That's the issue that's underneath the other issues. I was talking yesterday with a pastor who keeps a rather detailed scorecard on the number of people that he has led to Christ. And I am a firm believer in the need to surrender our hearts to Christ and to know the justifying grace of God and to have that forgiveness in our lives. And I don't disagree with him in that. But I also recognize that moment of salvation is not the last moment in a walk of faith. That there is more to a walk of the faith. And that, like the people walking through the desert, you and I are called to walk one step of faith at a time, trusting for our next meal, trusting for the next day. And this issue of faith undergirds all of the issues that we feel, that we face. There was a couple that had a fight about a thermostat. And I submit to you that I am one member of that couple, and the other member is not Darcy, but the other member is God. And that my fights with God about the little things that happen in my life, even if they don't seem little to me, are based on where my faith is at in that moment. I would suggest the same is true for you as well. And that we are people on a journey being led by God. And sometimes it feels very, very wilderness-ish. Sometimes it feels like there isn't a whole lot of hope. Sometimes we look at the people around us and we wonder whether we're going to get to that quail first or they are. Today, let's agree to have faith be the place that we start. Would you pray with me? God, who was and is to come, we struggle. We struggle with aspects of our church. We struggle with aspects of our community. We struggle with our families. And God, sometimes it seems overwhelming. Like these are problems that we cannot confront on our own, that these are problems that are too big for us. And God, we admit they are. They're too big. So God, rather than grumble to you about them, rather than grumble and murmur at each other about them, rather than complain about our families or the things that annoy us, right now, we're going to surrender those things to you. Right now, we're going to take those things and we're going to surrender them to you. We're going to give them to you with humility. And we're going to ask for your grace. God, may it be that as you take us on our journey, we would have the courage to follow one step at a time. That we would do so with faith. In your name we pray. Amen.